to the Tulsa Music Stream. And now, your host, Scott and Janice Squires. You want the dirt? You've got it.
Hey guys, we are back.
Hello.
We are Tulsa Music Stream, and we are glad to be back. It's been a while. It's been over a little over a month. We had some things going on we had to kind of take care of, and so now we are back and streaming here with the Tulsa Music Stream. This is episode 113, and we'll be joined with Jeff Duncan. He's a guitar player from Armored Saint, also guitarist for Odin. Yep. And if you would, please share this stream on your Facebook pages and your Facebook groups and all that stuff. Tag some friends and get the word spread out there. Also, we're on YouTube. You can hit subscribe, the notification bell. As well, we're on X and Twitch, and also on our podcast platforms. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and so many more. So I'm Scott Squires, and this is Janice Squires. Yep,
it is good to be back. We appreciate you guys coming in tonight. We're so pleased and thrilled to have you on here tonight. It's been a minute. We've been trying to connect with you for a while, but you have been a busy guy.
Are we wearing the right T-shirts?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he probably can't even see mine.
I'm wearing today, so.
Dude, I like it. Or we're sporting the Gazaris and the Armored Saint for you, so.
Oh, here we go.
Right on. Well, hey, man, we're going to definitely get into tour talk here in just a minute, but I wanted to first bring up that you guys just did a recent release of Revelation and La Raza on vinyl. Now, it's always such a special treat for fans and bands alike when albums come out on vinyl. And what I wanted to ask you about tonight is, what in particular made these two releases really good candidates for vinyl, and how excited are you to see these come out on that format?
Oh, well, you know, I'm really thrilled about it. You know, there was a vinyl release of March of the Saint and Delirious Nomad and Raising Fear that happened a little while back, and that's great. You know, and of course Symbol of Salvation did some time back. Sorry about that. But these two are, you know, really cool. I mean, because there are a couple albums that I did, you know.
Yeah.
And guess what prompted it is just, you know, the demand for vinyl and to, you know, I mean, the label doesn't put anything out that people aren't asking for.
Right.
And so, you know, thanks to the fans, you know, there you go. There's the vinyl.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you guys recently re-signed with Metal Blade Records for a multi-album deal. You know, that's got to be something really cool and, you know, something to look forward to in your future, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this day and age with the, you know, the climate of the music business and stuff, we're very, very grateful. And we talk about all the time of our home at Metal Blade Records and how long we've been there. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate to have the support of a label still. You know, it's really great.
Cool.
Yeah, not all artists have that luxury. I said we were going to get into tour talk. Now, of course, you guys not long ago completed your Saints Will Conquer World Tour. This was an overseas tour. I'm sure it was amazing. Now you're getting ready to embark on the Album One Alive World Tour with Wasp. And people can check out all the dates online. These guys are going to be all over the United States, not far from us. They've got some dates in Dallas, Little Rock, Wichita. So there's absolutely no excuse for the folks in this area to not make a very short drive and catch you guys. What I wanted to ask you about, you know, we've seen you guys before with Wasp, and it seems like such a great fit. It's just a really enjoyable show. Talk about your relationship with those guys and what makes that formula work.
Well, you know, Wasp and Armored Saint come from the same place, you know.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, the early days of, you know, the Hollywood and the Troubadour and all those clubs up there. And so it's really cool because, and plus Armored Saint, way back, you know, before I was involved, toured with Wasp in the early days, and there's a famous, you know, tour with, that was Wasp and Armor Saint Metallica. I think more importantly than that, I think it's just that musically, it's a cohesive situation because both bands are in that classic metal genre, and I think it just really appeals to a certain demographic of metalheads who like that kind of metal. You know, there's not any, it's not thrash, it's not speed metal, it's not, and there's nothing wrong with any of those genres. It's just that I think these two bands together really bring a particular thing, and there's a lot of people who like that. Seems.
Man, for sure. We caught you guys like 2 years ago here in Tulsa. You were with the Michael Schenker Group that night, I believe.
Yeah.
Amazing show. I'm not just pandering to you when I say this, but I thought Armored Saint stole the show that night. So it truly is a great bill.
Thank you.
I know you guys just released a cover and a video for One Chained, Don't Make No Prison. Tell me about the choice for that song, and where did you shoot the video?
I was shot in L.A. At this really cool spot. It was just this room that was decorated really cool, and it was all set up for us, and really, really cool. I think that video looks great. And then, you know, we decided to wear the matching suits just to kind of go with the little nod to the Four Tops in that era of Motown and so forth. And we're all big fans of that kind of music, you know. In fact, when we were in Detroit, we went to the old Hitsville house and did the tour, which was very exciting. I believe doing that song was Joey's idea.
Okay.
You know, everybody was on board, and you know, John Bush, he's very, very influenced by that type of music too, vocally. I think he has the soul of his voice represents that to me. That's really just how it came about. It's like, yeah, let's do it. So we went in and recorded it, and it was a blast, and then put it out. Cause you know, we wanted to put something out too, because Punching the Sky came out in 2020, and we all know what 2020 was like. And fortunately we've been able to do some touring behind that record. Ultimately we did, and supported it. So we've done, you know, two US tours and a European tour so far to support it. And we're going out, you know, again with WAF. So we'll have done three U.S. tours and a European tour behind that record. So that'll be great. And then you know, we're looking forward to putting out a new album in the new year.
Awesome.
You brought up the first few albums, of course, you know, March of the Saint and Rain of Fire and all that stuff. Symbol of Salvation. What your newer stuff, you know, the Wind Hands Down, Punching the Sky. You guys seem to still kind of have that same formula as the old school stuff, but it's relevant in today's music. I mean, I don't know what your secrets are on how you guys were able to take the chemistry of the old school and then bring it into new school, and it sounds relevant, it sounds fresh, it still rocks, but it still mixes well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you, and we strive to keep creating good music and all that. And we hear that from, you know, we're really grateful to the Armored Saint fans because, you know, a lot of bands, people go see bands and, you know, been around as long as we have, and they want to, you know, they want to hear all the old songs, and, you know, the new material is the bathroom break. But with Armored Saint, it's like the people are always excited to hear new stuff from us. And we're really grateful for that because, we like, you know, creating new music, and we like to move forward, and it's really nice when people are, it's really great that people embrace that. And I think when we did the album La Raza, that album was a little, it's a little more sophisticated. It's a little out. I always thought it was a little, I liked the album, but I think it was a little outside the, you know, the spectrum of Armored Saint as far as a whole, but it was an important stepping stone to find where Armored Saint was at that point in time. So I think once Wind Hands Down happened, we were able to kind of blend what La Raza had to offer with the previous sound of the band. And we really were able to take a step forward and not necessarily have a new sound, but a more refined sound and something that, you know, we just didn't want to get stale is really what it was.
Yeah. Delirious Nomad was one of my favorites. But, you know, When Hands Down, Punching the Sky, Muscle Memory, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. Those are all kick-ass tunes, man. Yeah. Muscle Memory is just amazing. And my, you know, just like Aftermath, you know, on Delirious Nomad. It's just, it's kind of like a ballad, but it's got heavy, I don't know. It's amazing. I just love it.
And kind of to spin off of that, you know, we talk about your songwriting and how it's evolved and yet kind of stayed true to who you guys are through the years. As I was researching you all, I found a comment that really stuck with me. Of course, we know what an integral part Joey is of the songwriting process for you guys. And this comment really stuck out to me. I think this kind of captures where every band wants to get. He says, and this was a comment he made around 2020 when you guys put out Punching the Sky. He said, we've been able to shed a lot of expectations that sometimes plague a band like ours that has been around a long time. And we've recently moved into a comfort zone, which is being ourselves. We have this kind of freedom now that we didn't really have early in our career, and we can take some chances and make the kind of music that we want to hear. This record is a reflection of where we are at right now. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. You know, you've been there, of course, basically since the beginning. Well, definitely since the beginning. How long did it take you guys to arrive and to that point where you knew, hey, we can call the shots now. We don't have to answer to a label or a management group or someone that's trying to force us into a box and make us something that we're not. How long did it take you guys to get there?
Well, I think a lot of that was a lot of that existed before my time in the band, because Armored Saint, when they were with Chrysalis Records, at least from what they've told me, so they've told me this, so I can say it. You know, they dealt with that, you know, they dealt with major label stuff, you know, and it was a different time period. And you know, everybody wanted the bands, you know, the labels wanted the bands to have the platinum album, and it was a whole different thing back then, you know. But I think it really started with Symbol of Salvation, because Symbol of Salvation was an album that almost didn't happen because we lost Dave Pritchard. Yeah. And so when that happened, the band was, you know, obviously devastated. That wasn't just a bandmate, that was a brother. And you know, I was friends with the Armored Saint guys for quite some time before I was ever in the band. So, you know, that was a really big loss to the band. And there had been demos that had been done. There are actually demos that exist of the Symbol of Salvation material. That's me and Dave on guitar.
Yeah.
So making that album was ultimately what happened. You know, Phil returned, and it was me and Phil on guitar, and it's been like that ever since. But it was really about, you know, Dave Pritchard would have wanted that material to get released, and we really wanted to, because one, it was basically the last batch of songs that he had anything to do with, and the other side of it is they were just really great songs, you know. And so fortunately, you know, Metal Blade saved the day, and Brian Slagle, who, you know, Armored Saint probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Brian Slagle. still, you know, it really just brought the band back, and we were able to make that record, which is, you know, one of the more critically acclaimed Armored Saint records, A Symbol of Salvation, which I'm really happy about, and we're very happy about. So ever since then, and having the freedom with Metal Blade Records, it's been like that. And I think the only thing that really existed as far as Armored Saint being confined to maybe being a certain way or this and that was maybe within the band to a certain extent a little bit.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's just like Joey said, you know, we just do where we're at this point in time. And yeah, we are very fortunate. Yeah. And it's very true what he said. It's a real freedom. And we're very, very, very fortunate and grateful for that.
For sure.
So you were kind of just put in an odd spot when you first joined Armored Saint. You know, you came in to replace Phil because he left. And then Dave passes away. And then if you said that, you know, of course, Phil comes back. What did that do to you personally? You know, you kind of were like the bridge that kind of happened here you know, things kind of just, you know, took the wrong turn, but now, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing about that is that as far as the guitar situation, Armored Saint, nobody really ever replaced anybody because when Phil was out for a while and Armored Saint, of course, did the Raising Fear or Delirious Nomad and Raising Fear as a four piece. And so they just had one guitar, which was Dave for quite a while. And then they decided they wanted a guitar player, another guitar player. And that's when I came in and they hit me up to join. And I came in on the Saints Will Conquer, the live EP tour. That's when I came in.
Yeah.
And when we did that and went to Europe for the first time with Armored Saints, that was with Dave. And then after that, we got back and we started, you know, we've been writing and that was the Symbol of Salvation stuff. But then I was out for a while because I was just taking care of myself personally. And in that period was when Dave passed away. And so Armored Saint really had no guitar players at that point in time and didn't know what, you know, they were, like I said earlier, they weren't thinking about the band. They were just devastated as I was.
Yeah.
But then when it finally came to be, I got a call from John and he was like, listen, you know, we're going to keep going and we're going to bring Phil back in and we want, you know, to be you, if you want to do it. And so I go, yeah, let's get together. So we went and met at this place up in Montrose, California. And we, you know, I joined back the band, shook hands over a turkey burger and I've been here ever since. They can't get rid of me.
Yeah. That's very and of cool. course, Anthrax came into the picture. You got to have to put it on hiatus. But, you know, the cool thing about all you guys is, I mean, you guys all were able to play in some really kick-ass bands. I mean, you know, of course, you know, got Merciful Fate. You know, you got your own brother is in LA Guns, which was the drummer for Odin. Yeah. I mean, you guys are all very talented, and you know it's always cool. But you guys, I believe, did your brother play in rock at Rocklahoma when Armored Saint played Rocklahoma? Was that your brother? That
well, there
in?
Was 1 year. Yeah, there was 1 year. I did Rocklahoma, and I did it with Armored Saint. Odin played.
Yeah, I was there.
And DC4 played, which was the band I had with my two brothers.
Wow.
So I actually played with all three bands that 1 year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was there, man. Back when I was like 14 years old, I went to this famous little local record store we have here in Tulsa called Starship Records and Tapes, man. And I don't know if it was 84 or 85. I think it might have been 85. And of course, Don't Take No for an Answer album from Odin was right there. I picked that up with Witch, The Hex Is On. Like all this, like... old school Sunset Boulevard rock and roll albums, man, that came out. And I fell in love with it. The Rider's a great song. But you guys are still kind of doing your thing with Odin, or is it kind of on the back burner for now?
No. I mean, Odin is pretty much a non-existent thing at this point. You know, I mean, if we ever did anything, it would be like maybe a special appearance, a few songs or something. But as a band and as a functioning thing, I don't see that happening. I really don't.
Mm.
There's no point in it to do it.
Gotcha.
Randy O, man, he was an awesome singer. I mean, just, you know, Sunset Boulevard, all running through his veins, you know, just watching all the, of course, the metal years and all that stuff. And
he had his time, that's for sure.
We just recently watched the movie. I don't know if you've seen the documentary, Nothing But a Good Time, just got released on Paramount. And, you know, just brought back a lot of old vibes and stuff. And I was wondering if you got a chance to see that yet.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know there's that one free episode. So I'm going to check that out. You know, just out of curiosity. It's funny to watch things like that for me because, you know, I was actually there and in the thick of it, you know,
yeah.
From LA. So it's interesting to watch things like that. And I can really, you know, fact check the reality of, you know, somebody who's making a documentary versus somebody who's actually there, you know exactly what went on, exactly what the situation was, you know. So it's fun to watch. Oh, that's not correct. That's not what happened.
Well, that is a great segue into my next question. I know I'm sure you've been asked this before, but I've never heard you answer it. I want to talk a little bit about the decline of Western civilization, part two. You know, any of us who are metal fans, we've seen it, and there are many opinions that when it was filmed, it was, you know, simply a documentary capturing the LA scene at the time. But then to some, when the finished product came out, it kind of felt like a hit piece that kind of cast some of you guys in a negative light. I think some people feel like Penelope kind of did that on purpose, but I want to hear your perspective. Did you feel like it was a hit piece, or were you just grateful for the notoriety that came from it?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, when I went to the premiere of that movie, I was a member of Armored Saint. I wasn't even in Odin anymore. And, you know, I mean, got to understand that I was pretty young, and when Odin ended, I was 22 when it was over. So, you know, I started young. You know? You know, it took me a little while. At first, I was like, oh, screw that. You know, it's stupid. And, oh, God, you know, and this and that. And then, you know, then I got to a place with it where I was like, you know what? We were 22, you know, we were 25, whatever the age of the band members were. We just got filmed being how everybody else was at that time. I mean, that's exactly how it was.
Yep.
You know, the partying and the girls and the cockiness and the ambition and all that stuff. I mean, we just got filmed talking about it and being how it was. I mean, that's just how it was. It was a, you know, it's a snapshot of time that is extremely accurate in that sense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think Penelope wanted to really, you know, I think she did things to really expose that and make it something that was very, you know, I think she really put a spotlight on it, put it that way.
Well, she's the one that put the hot tub. It was in her backyard, loaded you guys up with the booze and the beers. And of course they had the edited shot where you're like on stage and then you it's like you slip and they kept that in there. You know, we've all had those.
Right.
We're musicians. We know how when you almost slip on stage, it's not a fun feeling at all. You know,
yeah.
You can like, you know, trip over a scarf, you know, if it's long, you know, if you step on it.
Well, but was Penelope a fan or was she more into the punk stuff and was just kind of documenting the quote unquote hair metal stuff?
I don't really know. I don't really know. I think she was a fan of rock music, but I don't know that she was a fan of us.
Gotcha.
Necessarily, you know. I mean, she was really cool. I mean, she was definitely nice, and you know, and the cool thing about it, you know, with all that being said, the cool thing about it is, as the years went on, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've had come up to me and tell me how they loved Odin in that movie, it really got us a lot of exposure. Unfortunately, after the fact, because the band was dissipated, you know, the band was broken up.
Yeah.
So it really didn't help our Odin's career, but it was nice to hear that, you know, that they liked Odin and Odin was cool in that movie. And
absolutely.
Sure, there's people that maybe didn't think we were cool, but, you know, I mean, so what? And that's what happens when you're in a movie. Some are going to love it. Some are going to hate it. Who cares?
Hey, I was a young kid in Tulsa, man. I had that album before that movie even came out. And when I got to see that, I thought it was cool because I actually got to see you guys live, you know, because we didn't have YouTube and any of that shit, you know, back then. So, you know, seeing you guys in the movie was like, hell yeah, this is so cool. And I got to, like, you know, be introduced to Seduce and all these other bands that, you know, of course, I was a big Lizzie Borden fan. And, you know, I got to learn so much. And after digging in, you know, into your guys' more of your career, you know, of course the blood drive with Wasp that you guys, I guess, had the Saturday night show at
there's the flyer right there.
Right there. The Wasp show. And of course, Witch is there. Like I loved all the big bands like Crew and everybody, but I dug deep, you know, I wanted to know all the coming up bands. And I always wanted to know like the bands like you, Odin and Witch and that you, how close were you guys of getting signed and then, you know, how depressing was that of not getting that like all, everybody else was getting signed?
Well, it was hard because, you know, we saw bands show up from other places and get signed when we were from there, and we were selling out clubs, and we were, you know, a pretty big band, and it was very frustrating. You know, we saw Poison pass us up. We saw Warrant pass us up. We just could not get a record deal. And, you know, because we were young, what happens is that then you start looking at each other. Well, it's because of that guy. It's because of that. It's because of the music. We should try this. And then you start doing things that make you become what you weren't in the first place, that people like. And so it really became difficult being in that band, in that respect, you know. So it got to a point to where Armored Saint, I mean, I've been approached by Armored Saint in the Delirious Nomad period to join, and I didn't do it because I was still pursuing my thing, and I believed in it, and I put a lot into it. So when it came around again, I was like, look, you guys, I'm gonna go do this. Yeah. And it was a tough decision because, you know, one, I was leaving my brother, and I was leaving these guys that Randy, he wanted to do his own thing, and was pretty, you know, focused on wanting to do his thing. And I could speak for him, and he would agree with me on that. That's where he was at the time, and that's fine. So yeah, it ultimately, like, you know, and really we missed the boat by that point in time. You know, the signings were over and things were starting to change. And fortunately, I had an opportunity to move on to something else that was not only, you know, a better opportunity, but a band that guys that were friends of mine and a band who I really liked. I mean, I always loved Armored Saint. I mean, I, you know, when I heard that first EP, I was like, yeah, and I saw them. I just thought they were a cool band. You know, it's Armored Saint. It's cool, you know. And so to get into that was very exciting for me. You know, at least I went from something, you know, I went from something that was cool to something else that was really cool, you know.
Definitely.
But was further along.
So one more quick question along that whole Sunset Strip front. This guy, I know he was a big fan of yours. Give me like a favorite memory of Bill Gazzari and what he meant to you guys.
Well, he was, he was an interesting guy. You know, he was really cool. I mean, back then, you know, he did really like us. And I remember I'd go to Gazzari's and anytime I wanted and drink for free. And he'd be like, you know, yeah, have a good time. Take care of this guy. He's from Odin. He never said Odin. He always said Odin.
Yep.
You know, and, he used to would say, he's like, you guys are going to be bigger than Van Halen. And I was like, oh, even back then, I was like, I don't know about that. They're pretty big. You know?
Right.
But he was cool. He was a great old guy. When the pay to play thing all started in Hollywood, it happened after Bill passed away because he was the one that never did that. And when he went, and nobody else was doing it because people would just go play Gazzari's and not have to deal with it. But when he was gone, a lot of people don't realize that once he went away, the pay to play BS started. And I was never a part of that, but, that's when it started. I mean, he was a great guy. He took care of the bands and he made fair deals but what a character, you know. He was definitely unique and cool guy. He's always great to us. Really cool.
So tell me a little bit about there were so many clubs back in the day, so many, way more than Tulsa ever had. And I mean, you had the Palladium, you had the Country Club, you have, you know, of course, the Troubadour, all these clubs. Was there like a step up? Was it sort of like a ladder that you had to hit these certain clubs, or did you just hit them all? Or was like the big one with the Whiskey, and then once you got there, then you were golden at that point? I mean, what was it that you had to achieve to win over Los Angeles, the Sunset Strip?
Well, it was back then, it was the first place. You know, at least what we thought was the first place to play was the Troubadour. And so, you know, gave them a tape and hope that they call you. And then they call you and they give you like a Wednesday night or whatever. And they give you a bunch of discount tickets and you give them away to people and hope they show up. And then if enough people show up, then they put you on a weekend, an opening slot, and then it just kind of keeps building from there. And then you're headlining the Troubadour, you know, after a while, if it catches on, which happened for us. So, you know, I mean, we got put on shows like, you know, we played with Armored Saint at the Troubadour. We played, as you saw, with Wasp at the Troubadour. We played with all kinds of bands at the Troubadour. To where we got to a place where we were headlining the Troubadour. And yeah, then, you know, there's the Roxy up the street and the Whiskey become a headline band. And then we didn't play Gazzari's till the later 80s, Odin. But we would do three nights sold out at Gazzari's. But before that, yeah, you get out to the Country Club in Reseda, which is a big venue. And once you're headlining that and selling it out, that's really, really good. You know, things are going really, really well. And we definitely did that. So yeah, it was a little bit, there was trajectories, there were goals as far as venues. Sure.
I kind of want to talk about some fixtures of Hollywood. I mean, you're a Hollywood guy. We just watched that documentary. So I kind of wanted to get, you know, pick your brain a little bit with your guitar playing. You know, I can hear some Randy in you, some Randy Rhoads, some old school Ozzy a little bit. Are you a big fan of Randy?
I liked Randy Rhoads, but I was more of an Eddie guy.
Really?
And yeah. My two biggest heroes were coming up were Eddie and Tony Iommi, for sure.
I could
and
tell
Michael Schenker probably.
I could tell some earlier Sabbath, like off of the Caution EP or whatever, the Odin stuff, kind of had a.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of an old school Sabbath meets even kind of some Rush stuff in there, you know, some progressive. Midnight Flight or something like that.
Yeah, I was big into Sabbath and Iommi coming up. I still say Black Sabbath created heavy metal, and there's no discussion about that to me. But I liked Randy Rhoads. I mean, sure, you know, I sat down with as many guitar, you know, the hot shots, those records, and tried to steal as many licks as I could, and I loved Randy Rhoads absolutely. So I'm sure the influence is there.
What about Lizzie Gray? He's a fixture, Hollywood. Did you have any run-ins with him at all? Did you, at the Lizzie Gray, right, London?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I met him, you know, on several occasions, but we never really hung out or anything. I didn't know him that well.
And then, of course, the death of Jack Russell, Great White.
Mm, yeah.
You have any friends with those guys?
No, well, I mean, the only friend I have is the current bass player in Great White, Scott Snyder. He's a buddy. But back then, you know, I remember what I remember about Great White, and I share this story with a lot of people, is that, you know, they were originally Dante Fox.
Yeah.
And they were always a closing band, and they would close, you know, like we'd go see Motley Crue or Rat or any of those bands that were headliners. And back then you had an opening band, headliner, and a closing band. That's how it was back then. And Dante Fox a lot of times was a closing band, and we liked him. Me and Aaron, the bass player from Odin, used to go to gigs all the time together. We were pretty young. This is before Odin really happened or did anything. And we used to go see them because we thought the singer was great, you know, and he was. And Jack Russell was great back then. He was great for his career, you know, for the most part. And we were like, how come these guys, you know, are always closing? Like, they have, like, fans, but not that many. And, you know, why is that, you know? Because they were good. So then they went away for a while. And, what happened to Dante Fox? And they came back, then this EP comes out, Great White. And it's Dante Fox. And all the songs are Dante Fox songs. All the songs Dante. And then Great White hit. They just, reconfigured the whole thing. And which was good because they were always a good band, we thought, and then Great White took off. They were just Great White. They weren't Dante Fox anymore.
Yeah, their story is pretty well documented in that new documentary we were just talking about a few minutes ago. I don't want to let you get away without acknowledging and congratulating you for a really neat achievement that happened to you guys a little over a year ago. When you were inducted into the Metal Hall of Fame, and there's the picture of the marquee that night at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and here's your actual award that's got your name on it and everything. What a cool accomplishment. Talk a little bit about that night and what that means to you.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the first award I ever got for anything, you know. So, you know, it's always great to be acknowledged for a contribution you've made, you know, to... I think maybe to any genre of music, you know, and so you know, the fact that we were chosen to be put into that and got our award and all that was just, you know, it was just great, you know. I mean, you know, Armored Saint would continue with or without it, but at the same time, it was really, really cool to just get that, you know, tip of the hat to Armored Saint for you know, what we've done and contributing something.
It's well deserved. Let me ask you one more thing. This is kind of more of a personal question, but you know, he and I we're basically failed musicians. All we ever did was like the Weekend Warrior doing it for side cash thing. But we are very well aware of the level of sacrifice and grind that it takes for someone at your level to go out there and incessantly tour and work the way you guys work to make it all happen. When you kind of step back and reflect on your life, your career, do you feel you have given up or sacrificed anything in particular to do this? And is there anything that maybe you'd like to change or do differently? Or are you really satisfied with how everything has played out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, the only thing, you know, I made choices, maybe somebody would call them sacrifices, but they weren't and they still aren't sacrifices to me, which I chose never to have children or anything like that, you know. And I mean, you know, some of the guys in the band did later on in life, and that's a little different thing. And I certainly don't have any problem or I'm not against anything. It was just for me for many, many years, it was, you know, it's either that or this. That's just how I thought about it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I never did that. I don't have any kids. I've never been married. Not yet, anyway. I mean, never say never in anything. I don't know.
Right.
And you know, the only you know, but I had some missteps, you know, in my life, you know, at a earlier in my life, which is subscribing to the lifestyle, and you know, with overindulging in alcohol and drugs and stuff like that. But you know, when I was 23, I stopped everything. I haven't touched anything at all, not even weed in 35 years.
Good for you.
So I walked away from all that. I just saw that as something that was going to deter me from my passion and what I wanted to do with my life. And I already know what all that's like. It's just the same old day over and over to get into all that. And,
sure.
You know, and I saw too many casualties and I didn't want to go that way. So, as far as, you know, to answer your question, I wouldn't change a thing, including, you know, maybe things that weren't the best decisions or mistakes. I think that, you know, the worst thing that could happen is if you, you know, repeat the same thing over and over, expecting different results and think that it's going to be the same, even though you're doing the same stupid thing over and over, you know, just learn and pay attention as best as you can.
Sure.
And I think, you know, I've done my best anyway to do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, to me, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I got a nice guitar collection and I'm in a really cool band and I'm out here in Vegas. I do a lot of gigs out here for Vegas. I play guitar for a living here.
Cool.
And so it's all by design. Trust me. That was always the plan. So
that's great.
So you go to a lot of guitar clinics as well. You go to like NAMM and all that stuff and you set up booths or anything or.
Well, I mean, I go to NAMM. I usually like, I'll do like, you know, signings or like play, you know, me and Phil have done a lot of, you know, little jam things at booths and that sort of stuff. So yeah, okay. I like to do all that stuff. And plus, you know, I'm a total guitar junkie. So, I always like looking at new guitars and gear and all that stuff. I'm a nerd, you know, I can't help myself, but, there's worse things to be obsessed with, you know?
You know, me and her, we are in a band and we were in a band called Down for Five back in 2006. And we went up there and we played up in Hollywood. We played with the Cat Club there on Sunset. And then, was there one in Beverly Hills? It was a House of Blues or something back in the long time ago. I think Happening Harry was, the promoter. And we played, we're a band from Tulsa, of course, and we were all original. I guess we were kind of loud. I don't know. But you guys played after us, and you were on, there was like the little stairs that went up to this kind of a higher stage. And it was in Beverly Hills, House of Blues or something like that.
I can't remember.
In Beverly Hills, was it? It wasn't the joint. It was called
the joint.
It was the joint.
The joint. The joint. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
That's what it was. And you were there, and I believe your guitar player for DC4. Damn it, forgot his name.
Rowan.
Yes, thank you. I think he was there too. And we actually, I had a conversation with you, and you're on the steps tuning up your guitar and playing with your guitar before you had to get up and play. And that was back in 2006, man, a long time ago. But I already knew everything about you even back then, man. So it was, it's great to have you on here. I know that we talked about some new music for Armored Saint. I believe. He said something about John Bush said something about maybe 5 or 6 tracks that he's demoed or something, some new tracks. Anything further along with that?
Well, right now it's really just about sending ideas back and forth and, getting a bunch of songs together and picking from the litter as usual. And that's really kind of where it's at. It's in the pretty early stages as far as that goes. But, usually what happens is that process is going on and him, John and Joey will put the songs together out of the ideas that get sent. So, next thing you know, there's like, okay, here's these songs, and then there's a whole album written, and there you go. I just send ideas that I have, riffs or parts or bits and pieces. I send it to them. Usually it's John that will decide on a piece of music I think that strikes him as far as something he to sing to. That's really kind of what inspires him to sing something to it. So he has his process, and that's really kind of the way Armored Saint works. It's every band does it differently, but that seems to be, if it makes sense to me, if the vocal is very, very important in a song, it's everything.
Yes.
And if a piece of music inspires the singer, that's going to sell the song. I'm not saying it's going to sell a bunch of copies. I'm saying that's going to sell the song itself. That's going to, make the song what it is, because the singer is, dialed into the music and it inspired him. So that gives the song true birth, I think. That's just really kind of how the process works, which is great, because I don't have to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Wow.
And if I heard you correctly, is the target to get the release out in 25?
I think so at this point. Yeah, I think that's cool. What's up. At the same time, I do, I've done a lot of my own, I've done a lot of my own things. DC4 did 4 albums. I've done my own guitar instrumental album,
Wanderlust,
which came out a few years ago. So I stay busy, with being creative and recording and all that. That's just what I do. So I don't even look at like selling a bunch of records or anything like that these days. I'm just a creative person. And, I grew up in Glendale, California, and I used to ditch, 6 period, so I get home and sit on the bed and play along to Black Sabbath songs and play guitar. So it's really the same. It's really, it's full circle. That's pretty much, I always remember that, and try to stay in touch with that guy who just played guitar to play guitar because he loved it, Very and everything cool. else is just gravy after that to me.
Yeah. So last question for me, and then I'll let Scott wrap things up. Maybe I already know the answer to this, but is there anything you enjoy doing outside of music?
Not really.
That's what I figured.
I get asked that question, and I know there's people who's like, they like to go golfing, or they like to work on cars, or they like to, they have other things. I really don't. The only thing I really like to do, I like to work on guitars and that sort of thing. And I like to go sit with good friends and have a cup of coffee and good conversation. I really enjoy doing simple things like that, but I'm really not, I don't have like a second passion as far as like I am with music. It's just, and it's never been that way. Once I decided, when I was a kid, I was really into BMX. And I was into building bikes and dirt bikes and doing all that. But that was when I was a lot younger. And then once I really got into guitar and got serious, it turned to that. So I think I was either going to get in some motorcycles and you know, dirt bike riding and become a professional dirt bike rider, or I was going to be a musician. That's kind of the two things in my life that really struck me passionately. But it turned into music, and I'm glad I worked out there, because you know, rock and roll will never die.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and it's a lot safer than you know, being a dirt biker.
Yeah,
so
a lot of hospital bills, you know.
Yeah. As long as you don't fall off the stage, right?
You know, we're talking about all this cool old school stuff. You know, the old school Armored Saint records and of course Odin. But you got recently, we were on tour with Queensryche, and they, you know, were actually playing the EP, Queen of the Reich, and the Warning album, which were two of my favorite Queensryche albums. What was that tour like for you, playing with Queensryche? You've done it many times with those guys. That has to be a special thing, man.
Well, you know, that was the second tour that we've done with Queensryche. The other one we did was back in like 2015. Mm-hmm. And then we did that one this year with them. And, you know, and I got to say, you know, I love those guys. I mean, they're like the coolest dudes and such a great hang, you know. And, you know, Eddie Jackson would like make breakfast burritos for the band and deliver them to the bus for us. And,
wow.
And then on off days, you know, have cookouts and we'd all be hanging and just great. I mean, just really awesome guys. And Mike Stone, who's back in the band now, that's a guy I've known since the mid 80s. So
yeah.
He's an old buddy. And, you know, they're all just, Todd Latore, they're just all just great guys, and I consider them very good friends at this point, you know. You know, they sound fantastic. What an amazing thing to surmount, you know, with the departure of Jeff Tate, the voice of the band, to be able to still do well and translate the Queensryche music as well as they do is pretty amazing. Because, hey, look, you know, one, it's really hard to replace a singer in any band. It just is. And, you know, it's just tough because that's the voice of the band. And, yeah. And the fact that they were able to do that really seamlessly and still sound like Queensryche is pretty amazing. And you know, they're just great guys. You know, I hope we get to do more stuff with them in the future.
Cool.
Cool. Well, we are definitely looking forward to some new music, some new Armored Saint with you. I think that you're a perfect fit in this band.
Yes.
Reign of Fires is a blazing solo, all that good stuff, man. And we love the fact that you guys come to Tulsa, because a lot of these old school bands, sometimes they don't hit Tulsa as much, but you know, you've been here twice. You were here with Wasp. You came headline your own show at the venue here in Tulsa a few months back. And we're looking forward to you guys coming out with something new and hitting the road again, man.
Yeah, and before we let Jeff go, let me put this up one more time. Make sure you guys go out and catch a date near you on this tour that's coming up. It's the Album One Alive tour with Wasp. It's going to be amazing. I also want to make sure y'all know that ticketless VIP upgrades are available. What a package you get with this stuff. It doesn't include the concert ticket, but you sure get a whole lot of other cool stuff. And as you can tell, Jeff is very personable and nice, so you get a meet and greet with the band and get to meet him and the other guys. You can get those VIP packages at national-acts.com/armoredsaint. Jeff, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. We wish you all the best. Thank you for your time tonight, and stay in touch with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so glad we finally got to be able to do this. And thanks for being patient with me. And, you know, it's really been a pleasure talking to you guys.
Man, you too, bud. We appreciate you. Take care.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Thank
All right.
you.
Talk
we'll
to you
see
later.
You. All right. Bye-bye.
Awesome. That's cool.
Great guy.
Yeah, we didn't get into the fact that he's no longer lives in L.A. He's now in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I didn't dig into that too much, but... You know, don't you figure a lot of those guys have, I mean, I would assume cost of living is probably a big reason why a lot of them got out of California. Now, I don't know how much cheaper it is living in Vegas, but there's a reason why a bunch of them have sailed.
Well, I mean, if you're down to your last 10 bucks, you can always go stick it in a slot machine and win $200, you know.
always you can always do that. Oh man. Well, but as we told you at the start of the show, we don't have sponsors to talk about anymore, so And we also don't have another episode lined up yet, but we are going to be working on
it. Yeah, I'm
going to
work on it as soon as we get out of here.
Yeah, because every time we do one, we remember and realize how fun it is, how amazing these guys are and ladies are that we bring on and interview. So we're going to keep working, and we don't have the sponsors. Guys, if you would, if you're so inclined to help us out, there's a little crawl running across the screen right now. You can show your support to us by donating at Cash App $ Tulsa Music Stream. Or if you're watching on Facebook, you can shoot us some stars. Any little contribution you can give us helps. It costs about, what did we figure up? A little over $100 a month to just to keep the stream active.
Maybe
we shouldn't talk exact numbers. I mean, that's basically what it is, but you know, $5-$10 here and there from our viewers that enjoy the show. It really helps out. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mark Morris. He says, very incredible interview. Thanks,
bud. And listen, there's another thing. We're not just talking about Armored Saint. We are also talking about Hammered Saint. Now, this is such a cool thing, and I told my friends in the band, I said, we're going to plug this show. This has been a vision of our friend Toby Mask, and that's why I've put his name on the screen here as one of the band members, because for as long as I can remember knowing Toby, he has talked about Hammered Saint, wanting to put it together with all the perfect musicians, and look at this lineup. I mean, we've got some of Tulsa's finest in Hammered Saint. Steve Ray on lead vocals, Eddie Bishop lead guitar vocals, Dave Thomas lead guitar, Dave Mooney on bass.
Lead bass.
I copied this straight off their page, so everything's lead. I like it. I should have put lead visionary mastermind on Toby. Ben Gleason, lead drums and vocals. So these guys are going to rock out for you this Saturday, September 21st at the Venue Shrine. Also with Ozolution. Eddie Bishop's got double duty that night. He's going to be tired the next day, but he's going to rock out for you. And also, She Hates Me Not, September 21st, this Saturday. Doors at 8, show at 9. Those advanced tickets can be bought on StubWire.com. Just $8. Man, that's cheap entertainment for a great night out. Or you can get them $10 at the door. So go check out that band. I didn't get to see the set list, but I know it's going to be a lot of killer, just metal, thrash stuff. I don't believe they have any original tunes. But I think it's all covered. Toby, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But go have a great time. Go check out Hammered Saint, Ozolution, and She Hates Me Not this Saturday at the Venue Shrine. Like Scott said, thank you guys for tuning back in. You got anything else before we get out of here?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Thank you, Stacy, Todd, Susie Ray. Thank you, Stephen. All of you guys. Jamie Hooper was in the house.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much, and we'll be announcing a new interview coming up here shortly. So appreciate you guys, and stay tuned in with us.
Yep. Have a great night. We'll see you soon on Tulsa Music Stream. Take care.